Rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current temperature is 80 degrees. Winds are zero out of the southeast, as the weather station says. Lacey Swope is our guest with Channel 9 weather today. She's waiting patiently to tell us all about her holiday adventures and the future weather looks like. Actually, what it looks like after monsoon season. Remember, you can text in to our KECO Ag text line if you got any questions for her or me or any comments or anything you want to do. Just text in at 580-225-9697. Let's take a break, and Lacey and I'll be back to chit-chat with you right after this.
Hi, I'm Randy Ritter on First Oklahoma Ag. Well, here's some disappointing but not at all surprising news. It appears pretty likely now grain farmers will be paying higher cash rents again next year. The fall 2020 harvest produced good incomes across the nation, and it looks like the season's average price will be $4.35 for corn and $8.57 for soybeans. USDA's numbers won't finalize for a couple of months and has already posted much higher prices for the 2021 crops. Corn is projected at $5.70 and soybeans at $13.85. Landowners will most assuredly want a piece of those numbers, and one of the ways they'll get it is to raise cash rents. It's a catch-22 for farmers, says Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnitke.
What we typically see is cost rise during periods of higher income, which is sort of what you would expect, but they never come down as much during periods of lower prices. So I'm still sort of the opinion if you're looking at below $4 per bushel corn to be the long run average and something below, you know, $9 to $9.50 for a soybean price, and economics over the long run will have to be match that, even though we're looking at higher prices than that now. So overshooting of those costs and cash rents are what gets concerning.
It won't be a problem this season with the high prices going on out there, but in years where the prices take a downturn, it will be problematic. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Being there matters, and in a world that can be uncertain, your United States Navy protects and defends America on the oceans. Where there are threats against America, anywhere around the globe, your Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America at all times. When pirates threaten commerce, your Navy is there to ensure the world's oceans are safe and free from attacks. When disaster strikes, like the typhoon that devastated the Philippines in 2013, your Navy was there, providing medical supplies and relief to those in need. When drug traffickers attempt to use the ocean to ferry narcotics to our borders, your Navy is there defending America. Your Navy is deployed around the world, around the clock, always ready. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.
Trade representatives from the United States, Mexico, and Canada meeting this week to commemorate the first anniversary of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. Mexico Secretary of Economy, U.S. Trade Ambassador Catherine Tai, and Canada's Minister of Small Business Export Promotion and International Trade attending the meeting. The officials getting together in Mexico City to exchange views on the achievements reached during the agreement's first year and discuss opportunities to ensure the long-term growth and competitiveness of the region. The U.S. Trade Representative's office saying in a statement the meetings are an opportunity to continue the productive dialogue established during the first pre-trade commission meeting back in May. Further, the USTR says the meeting shows how the United States, Mexico, and Canada are working together as friends, neighbors, and allies. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Did you know that generic drugs are just as safe and effective as brand name drugs? Generics might look different, but they work the same way, and they can even save you money. Don't believe me? Ask your doctor or pharmacist, or visit fda.gov/generic drugs.
Sparky the Fire Dog here. Make sure your home has smoke alarms in every bedroom, outside your sleeping areas, and on every level of your home, even your basement.
Brought to you by the National Fire Protection Association and your local fire department. Visit sparky.org.
That's Check Ag News. Have a great day. Greg Merrick, First Oklahoma Ag.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Lacey, are you on there?
I am. Hello.
It was my fault. Did you get my text?
What'd you say?
I said I was trying to call your text line.
Well, Jimmy, that ain't going to work.
It didn't work. I was like going into my first panic mode on this show ever.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I could be responsible.
Well, I'm glad you called.
Well, we're here. We're good.
So how was your 4th of July?
Well, it was really, really good. I hope you had a great one, too. We spent most of the weekend at my parents' farm up in Keefer, Oklahoma, up in Creek County. And we could shoot off fireworks and do all of that. But they have chickens and geese and ducks and turkeys and I don't even know what all they got going on around there. But all kinds of stuff.
Brooke was busy, I guess.
She runs around like crazy. They have a golf cart, so she's always going around on that. And we shot fireworks. It was her first time to do, like, the little pops. I think that's what they're called. The white things you throw down.
Yeah, the little poppets.
Yeah. So she kept taking them and popping them in her hands. I have no clue how she learned to do that, why she wanted to do that. But I spent my time watching her taking those away from her so she wouldn't pop them in her hands.
And so, she did. Yeah, it was. It was probably her first fireworks year, wasn't it? She was too young last year.
She didn't really watch. Yeah. She loved them for a while. I think she was more confused. I think next year she'll probably get excited. This year it's kind of like, what is that? And why are they so loud? Like, she wasn't scared, but she was not nearly as enthusiastic as I was about it.
Well, that was a mom's intuition there. But they.
So, I guess.
Yeah. So did you raid your parents' garden?
I did somewhat, yes. They have it's the first year that it's done really well. They're doing, you know, tomatoes, potatoes, onions, I don't know. They have a greenhouse, too, that's just full of stuff. So I did get enough stuff to bring home. The problem is, I think we're going to end up with way too much, as always. It's not a bad problem to have.
No.
But usually, I have to figure out what we are going to do, how we're going to can it, or what, you know, what we're going to do with the leftovers.
All right.
So that's kind of what we're looking at now, which is it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a really good problem. I tell you what, with all this rain, my tomato, you seen the picture I sent you yesterday? My tomatoes are just blowing up. And matter of fact, I'm picking them green and setting them in the house so they don't, they're getting ripe really fast and split.
Yeah.
And there's some splitting going on. There's nothing I can do about it. But I have a lot of. This is the first year, and I'm not the only one out here. There's actually a lot of fruit worms getting in the tomatoes this year. They're taking
that's
over.
That's not fun.
No, that's no fun at all. But, well, we had some questions today that some listeners wanted to ask you. And one of them was, when did you first start doing weather?
When did I first start? So I graduated college at OU in 2010. And so I started that year as a meteorologist, but I was in Sioux City, Iowa, was my first market. And so that's when I started. I've been at News 9 for almost 10 years. It'll be 10 years this fall that I've been in the city. I was interested in weather as a little kid. I mean, I think anyone in Oklahoma, you learn your ABCs and you learn, you know, how to do your tornado safety precautions. So everyone's very weather aware. And I always loved weather, but it really wasn't until I got to college at OU. I went there undecided. I wanted to do something with science. I just didn't know what way I wanted to do it.
Right.
And they had just built the National Weather Center in Norman, which, if you haven't been there, you should go. It's so amazing. And my classes would be in there, and I would, oh, sign me up. And so that's when I really decided with my freshman year of college that I wanted to go into it full time. I did not want to be on TV until my senior year of college. I wanted to go do computer coding and work in modeling. And then I kind of fell into an internship at News 9. And then I was like, wait, I can get paid to talk about weather? Done.
Yeah, you're in, right? So who was at News 9 when you did your internship?
When I did my internship, Gary England was at the time, and I interned with Jed Castles as well on the morning show.
Oh, I got you.
I interned the mornings and the evenings. Yep.
Well, when Gary England was the chief, and this is back in the early 90s, right after I moved to Kansas City in 92. And
okay.
A few years, and then the morning show was Gary Slezak. And then when we hadn't lived in Kansas City very long, and I turned the news on one morning, and there Gary was. I was like, that guy's following me.
I saw him in the city.
Yeah, so I think he's
still up there in Kansas City.
Yeah, he's the chief now, isn't he? The meteorologist?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is. I hadn't been up there in a year or two, but anyway, that was kind of funny. But, well, we were talking around this morning, you know, back when I was growing up, and Tom Ivester and Nathan and Landry in here, you know, we listened to Amarillo weather. And because that weather and Amarillo was going to tell us what was going to get here.
What's coming,
because we're not that far. I mean, we're dead center between Oklahoma City and Amarillo. And we were just talking about that, and it was kind of funny. And we just, you know, and then all of a sudden, here comes Gary England with all of his, you know, technology and, you know, the Doppler come out and stuff. And all of a sudden, we're listening to Channel 9 out of here. You know, most of us are. And so that's where that changed up. But since you started reporting weather, how has the weather pattern changed from where you monitor it far out west here all the way to the eastern part of the state? How has it changed, or has it changed? Is there enough of a pattern to really get any significant amount of change?
So far, in the 10 years that I've been doing it, there has not been any type of pattern I could draw conclusions from. That's a long story short. Even looking back at data, when we really started keeping accurate data, I wasn't alive then, but back in the 1950s, that's just such a small chunk of time to have accurate data to look at to try to draw patterns. I mean, that's a speck on a timeline, you know?
Right.
So to be able to say that when this happens, it impacts this, it might 1 year, and then the next year it doesn't, you know? So to be able to look at like, severe weather and say, well, this year we had record low tornado count. Well, back in 2019, it was a record for the most amount of tornadoes. I think we've seen some extremes, but we've seen extremes on all ends.
Right.
Lately. You know, we've had the coldest of the cold. We've had record heat back in 2012. We've had extreme drought and wildfires. We've had massive flooding. And I don't know that any of that is, you can draw a conclusion that when that happens, you know what the next year is going to bring. It's just, it's not that good. And there's too many factors that we don't know about.
Right.
Is the long story short. So we've covered it all. I mean, I think we've had record flooding, record heat, record winters, record snow, we've had all of those in the 10 years I've been there.
Record cool June. Hey, if you're just joining us on the show right now, it's Today in Ag. I'm Jimmy Clark, and we have Lacey Swope with Channel 9 Weather on with us. And so, well, you know, it's just like that deal in, that we had this winter, that two-week period of cold weather. I remember having them a lot back in the 80s.
We did. Yes, we did.
And so...
You know, I get some people that'll say things, you know, like, you know, when I was a kid, it snowed more. When I was a kid, the winters were colder. And I'm not saying that's not the case. And if you go back and look at their specific location, sometimes that's true. But also, if you go back and look at the data, it did get cold. And it does get cold now. So, and the same thing with heat. You know, it's just we have these years that fluctuate, and there's just no good pattern that you can look at it to say, well, because of this, next year, you know, this is what's going to happen. I wish it was that good. It sure helped for the farmers. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's simply not that good. The science is not that good.
Well, I know this must have been a really cold snap for you to cover this past winter, because I remember you texting me and asking me, you know, because you're wanting to learn about agriculture, cattle, and how the weather affects us out here, because this is a sure. big ag area. You was texting me about how does this cold, extreme cold affect the cows and when we're calving yeah. and all that stuff. And so I'm glad you're doing that, because that means you care about us farmers and ranchers out here.
I do. I have so many friends and family that's the livelihood. That's literally what their entire lives are based on. And I did not grow up on a farm. I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere on property, but it's much more of a hillbilly lifestyle than farming and ranching lifestyle.
You were hunting and fishing. Yeah, no, but they, so I have one listener that wants to know, how is it possible for Western Oklahoma to have higher humidity than Eastern Oklahoma?
So. It seems that way. And some days that's the case. It all depends on what we call the moisture fetch. So it's just the direction of the wind. So the Gulf of Mexico, that air mass over the Gulf of Mexico, obviously is very, very, very humid. So the air directly above the ocean picks up little water particles, and then the wind transports it up. So if there's a southeast wind that comes up through central Texas, and then angles up into Western Oklahoma, it brings that fetch straight up into Western Oklahoma. It'll miss Eastern Oklahoma altogether. And so it's really all dependent on where the surface low is, where the surface high is, and how it's pulling up the wind, because that fetch can miss Eastern Oklahoma altogether. Now, typically, a southeast wind just brings it straight up into southeastern Oklahoma.
Right.
But sometimes, depending on how the storm is, it can miss Eastern Oklahoma altogether. And then it is weird when you've got heat index of 113 in Western Oklahoma and it's 100 in Idabel. I mean, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that. That's what we're talking about, because, you know, they're just now starting today out here in the farming part to get back to work from monsoon season, I called it.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just starting to, they're thinking about it, and there are probably some people out there spraying today. But, you know, they are just like, we can't cut hay, we can't start cutting rye because the humidity's too high. I mean, I walked across my yard last night at 5 o'clock and it was wet. And so it's that it affects how farming operations go out here. Well, you know,
sure.
I think we talked about it a few months ago, or I texted you about it or something. Was it my imagination, or last summer seemed like to be the, because I'm out in this all the time, it seemed like we had a constant southeast wind out here.
Yep.
And usually it's southwest. So what's changed that? What's caused that change?
Well, it's all about the heat dome, the big old area of high pressure and where it sets up. So sometimes the heat dome sets up east of us, and that's what's been happening. That's what happened last year. And so you get this wind that's more out of the southeast wrapping around. I'm using my hands like I'm showing you on a weather wall, and you cannot see what I'm doing right now.
Right.
But it's how I talk. I look crazy. I'm sitting in my gym parking lot demonstrating a surface high right now. And, on the radio,
and everybody's giving you the look.
But anyway, the flow around a high is clockwise, and so it pulls the wind up from the Gulf of Mexico, and it makes it go that way. Sometimes the heat dome sets up west of us, and that pulls in a southwest wind. It depends on where it sets up,
sets up.
There's a lot of factors that come into play, but it does happen that way, and yeah, that keeps the humidity way too high. That's when I hear from, you're not the only one, Jimmy. I hear from the wheat farmers. I hear from the folks wanting to cut hay. I hear from them wanting to cut the beans, the peanuts. Oh, my gosh, peanut farmers. I hear from everyone, and I appreciate it. It's very educational for me. And then I know, you know, some people need the rain, some people don't. Some people want the dry weather, some people need the humidity. And it's never exactly perfect ever.
Oh, no, it's not. That's why we call it farming and ranching. And
right.
You don't know what the next day is going to bring. So what's our long ranger look like?
So long range, honestly, just looking at the very latest this morning, is no extreme heat. And there's going to be some hot days coming up through July. I'm talking through the end of July, that is.
Right.
There was even a couple hot days this week where you guys are going to cook and the heat index is going to soar because there's still so much moisture in the very top levels of that soil after all the rain last week. So there's still going to be some pretty high humidity. But as far as just baking and the rain shutting down, that's not showing up. There's storm systems every few days over the next few weeks. Now, whether you get rain, you know, in all of Western Oklahoma, it's probably not going to happen, but some people will. And as long as that pattern continues, that big ridge doesn't set in as far as high pressure goes, and we don't have the extreme summer heat showing up through the end of July.
Good.
As of right now.
I'd rather have that forecast. And hey guys, if you see your look on your phone, it'll have a cactus with a heat with the sun behind it.
105.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on today, and I'll let you get to your workout, and hopefully we can talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5.
Good day, Calvin Wright, Beef Industry News. And coming up, a U.S. House Committee vote to revoke Trump-era meat, poultry, line speed waivers. More in a moment.
Oklahomans know the value of a hard day's work. At Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance, we've protected generations of Oklahomans who start the day before the sun and don't come home until the work is finished. From livestock to equipment, we've got you covered. People you know, insurance you trust. Proudly serving Oklahomans for 75 years. Visit OKFBinsurance.com today to find an agent near you. Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Get ready for the next big thing at Livingston Machinery. The Gale 650 articulated loader is perfect for landscape, agriculture, or construction. If you crave flexibility, the variety of attachments makes this machine equipped for any challenge. Excellent visibility to the front, sides, and rear of the machine allow for precise placement of loads and efficiency. Less downtime means more money in your pocket.
Visit us at Livingston Machinery in Chickasha and Fairview for the service you've come to expect 24/7.
U.S. House Appropriations Committee voted recently to revoke 16 pandemic-related meat and poultry line speed waivers issued during the Trump era. But not before a lively debate over line speeds and worker health and safety. Representative Barbara Lee of California offered an amendment.
This amendment helps protect the health and safety of meatpacking workers by suspending and prohibiting any line speed increases in meat and poultry plants during the ongoing pandemic.
Representative Ashley Henson of Iowa.
Secretary Vilsack did recently echo this point on AgriTalk Radio a few weeks back. He said, quote, "We're looking for an opportunity to expand our processing capacity, and it's fairly clear that producers believe we don't have enough."
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Well, wheat harvest is pretty much done in Oklahoma, except in the panhandle. Yields were slightly down this year. In 2019 and 2020, yields were 40 bushels per acre. This year so far, we're at the 39 bushel per acre production. Production is up from 2019, which had 104 million bushels harvested. This year, it's at 105.3 million bushels, up 1%. That's from 2.7 million acres of wheat ground that was planted in Oklahoma this year. Texas yields were up from last year. They were at 30 bushels an acre last year compared to 34 bushels an acre this year. Production was also up. Last year they had 61.5 million bushels. This year, 64.6 million bushels. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Beef Breakeven, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
Take care, Grandma.
Okay, baby. Don't forget to let me know the second you get there.
Yes, ma'am.
My grandson always tells me I worry about him too much. And of course I do. I'm his grandma. Well, I was worried sick when he came home from Afghanistan. He came back wounded. It wasn't a wound you could see. It was a wound inside, post-traumatic stress disorder. My T couldn't sleep. He was angry all the time. He felt like he didn't fit in anywhere. Then I heard about this group, Wounded Warrior Project, people helping warriors like T. So I figured who better to help my grandson than people who could understand what he'd been through. Now, I don't know what they do there, but my tea is smiling again. So I figure they must be good people.
One out of every five warriors returned from the battlefield with post-traumatic stress disorder. Help support them at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Hello, folks. Calvin Wright. Beef. Break even. Well, the heat wave affecting much of the West is nothing but really a big punctuation mark on the drought conditions that many producers have already been challenged by, including, of course, the livestock industry. Now, Ashley House is executive vice president of the Washington Cattlemen's Association and says the drought has really created a challenging year for ranchers.
Certainly. I think our concern is always a protracted drought situation. And what we're seeing now, particularly in Washington, and what I hear from my members, is that they're having to leave pastures, you know, a month ahead of time because of the forage quality and the range conditions.
And House says some ranchers expecting to rotate pastures in mid-June actually did that a month ago.
You know, it's always challenging to find more pasture where the protein quality is what you want for your herd. And so we're seeing a lot of hay that folks are having to import from other areas. And certainly down in like Walla Walla area, you know, the hay yields are really down dramatically from what they traditionally are year over year.
House says one of the unintended consequences has been a greater demand for hay and cattle feed, which in turn drives up prices. In other news, the Federal Trade Commission last week voted to strengthen its enforcement of the Made in USA standard. The FTC requires products to display a country of origin. However, if the products are imported and produced in the United States, then they can display the Made in USA label.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I talked to some of the local cotton farmers today, and let's start off with Spencer Smith in Beckham County. He said their cotton was doing great. They had to spray some regulator to slow it down, actually. So these rains have been good on everything, but some of that cotton was planted early is doing really good, and some of it that was planted right before these big rains set in probably isn't doing that well. But he said it's doing really well. Rod Carver basically said the same thing. Everything's doing really good. They're out there looking in the field today. He's in Greer and Beckham County. Jimmy Music down in Warstall County said that the no-till planted cotton was doing better than the conventional planted cotton. So, and then he also said the same thing, that the cotton that was planted right prior to the rains is not doing too good, but that stuff planted earlier was doing really good. Well, the weather forecast looks just like this. Let me bring it up. I added up and I switched over to something. Currently, it's 81 degrees. Weather forecast looks like we're going to be a high of 87 today. Tomorrow, 89 degrees, 30% chance of rain. Thursday, 92. Friday, 94. Saturday, 91 degrees with a 30% chance of rain. And as Lacey said just earlier on the deal, the dome hadn't set in on us, so we've got chances of pop-up showers all through the month of July. And it doesn't mean it's not going to get hot. But you're listening to 96.5 KECO. Lake Lugard is slowly creeping up. When I started reporting on this last month, the conservation pool was at 29%. Sorry. Today it's right at 40.5 conservation pool full. It's still 16 foot below normal. The inflow from the North Fork of the Red River today is at 400 cubic feet per second. A few of you are probably saying, big deal. Well, it's actually a big deal because farmers in Greer and Jackson County depend on that lake for irrigation. That's what that lake was built for. Here's some interesting numbers for you. So today, the inflow is at 400 cubic feet per second. That's 34,560 1,000 cubic feet a day, which equals to 215,268,500 gallons a day. 215 million gallons of water a day is flowing in there out of the North Fork of the Red River into Lugard right now. That equals to 42,000 semi-loads a day. That's a lot of water. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, folks, Calvin Wright, First Oklahoma Ag. Let's check the midday markets Tuesday. Live cattle, August down 55, 121.45. October down 75 at 127.32. Feeder cattle, August up 242, 159.47. September up 220, 161.62. Lean hogs, July up 70, 109.35. August up 202, 102.25. July corn down 49 and a quarter, 648. September down 40, 552. Kansas City wheat, July down 32, 3 quarters at 578 and a half. September down 37 and a half at 581, 3 quarters. Chicago wheat, July down 33 at 612, 3 quarters. September down 33 and a half at 619 and a quarter. October cotton up 49 points at 88. December up 31, 87, 28. July soybeans down 96, 1355, 3 quarters. August down 95 and a quarter at 1338. Crude oil, August down $1.56 at 73.60. September down $1.59, 72.77. We'll check cattle auction numbers in a moment.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone. America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight. Because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Stillwater Milling Company has proudly served customers since 1891, and you're invited to be part of the culture. At Stillwater Milling Company, they know they've got the best customers in the world. And if you haven't experienced the quality of A&M feeds and the top caliber service, it's time you do. Make the best choice. Call Stillwater Milling Company. You can call them today at 1-800-364-6804 for the branch or dealer location nearest you. Stillwater Milling Company and A&M Feed, the best choice for livestock feed.
Southern Oklahoma Livestock Auction in Ada, the final numbers for July 1st. Slaughter cattle, last week 255, last reported 159, last year 103. Replacement cattle, last week 287, last reported 224, last year 95. Now compared to previous week, slaughter cows sold steady to a dollar higher. Slaughter bulls sold mostly steady. Demand good for all classes, quality good with few attractive. Total of 542 cows and bulls sold 47%. Going to Packers. Oklahoma National Stockyards Market in Oklahoma City, the final numbers for June 29th. Slaughter cattle, last week 177, last reported 196, last year 209. Replacement cattle, last week 40, last reported 65, last year 140. Compared to previous week, slaughter cows and bulls steady, demand moderate.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Heck yeah. Hey, welcome back. Hey, just a FYI for you, there's all kinds of ways for you to listen to the show. 96.5 KECO, you can download the Paragon app on your phone and listen to it on there, on the KECO, or you can go to KECOFM.com, click on the menu, then tab Today in Ag. All the show recordings are on there listed, so you can listen to them when you want. We started today Facebook Live. I don't know if you want to look at my ugly face, but anyway, you can get on there and listen to it on Facebook Live if you want to. Tomorrow on the show, I have Mr. Brent Metter with the North Fork Electric Co-op on. He's going to cover the challenge of rural electric co-ops, irrigation, billing, peak usage, solar energy, going green. We're going to have a great show tomorrow, and it's going to be a two-segment show because there's a lot to cover tomorrow. Well, I don't want you to miss it, so join in. Well, that's all I have for you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.